Hey, what's up? Welcome to Movie Dumpster Season 6, Episode 4. Today we're talking about Red Clover from 2012, directed by Drew Daywalt. I'm Joe LaScola.
I'm Sean O'Rourke.
And I'm Dustin Elkins.
Welcome to the dumpster. It's St. Patrick's Day again, Sean. We're here again. I don't know if we're talking about a fucking classic,
but it's Leprechaun related.
It's Leprechaun related. We're going to get into the deets of the MDU and how this all connects to our good friend that lives in a well.
Yes, with Pumpkinhead and the rest.
Peahead and Rawhead, of course.
And we brought the perfect person on for this episode to talk about this.
We sure did.
Our longtime friend and dumpster dweller, Dustin Elkins from the Flicks and Friends podcast. How are you doing?
Guys, thanks for having me. I'm super stoked to be here.
This is incredible. This is like a flashpoint for the show, right?
No, it is, actually.
I think it is because
things are going like full circle a little bit.
It's coming full circle. So Dustin has, first of all, we just want to thank you so much for all the support that you've given us over the years. Like, it is fucking incredible. You are one of the OG dumpster dwellers, and we can't thank you enough. I mean, you and the army of our followers, our community, have really made the show what it is, to tell you the truth. And it's so awesome to finally have you on the show.
No, I just want to thank you guys. I'm not the only one who can attest to what you mean to us. Like you just said, you have this whole dumpster full of us, man. And we are, we're down there fucking swimming. And we are more thankful for y'all, if that makes any sense.
Well, thank you, man.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah. So yeah, let's talk, before we get into the fucking St. Patty's Day festivities.
Well, before we even get to that, I just want to comment on that army comment real quick, because I'm just thinking about the army of Clint Howard from fucking March of the Wooden Soldiers.
Oh, well,
I just had to mention that, I'm sorry. I had to get that nugget out of my head.
With that being said, tell us a little bit about yourself. What are you doing? Tell us about the Flicks and Friends podcast. What's cooking?
A whole lot of nothing, man, like movie watching, TV watching, but the Flicks and Friends podcast, we just get me and my co-host Paul and Sean, just get a group of people together and we just literally shoot shit about what we love, which is movies.
Awesome, man. And we had the distinct pleasure of being on your Pumpkinhead episode. So that was a fucking blast to talk about.
Titular peahead.
If you haven't subscribed to the Flicks and Friends podcast, what the fuck are you doing? Go over there.
Yeah.
Subscribe, check out that Peahead episode, check out all the wonderful things that they're doing over there. It's some good shit. If you're digging this show, you're going to love them.
You don't want Haggis coming after you.
No, you sure don't. She's going to put that curse on you.
Oh, Ed Hartley. Oh, Ed Hartley, you better listen to the Flicks and Friends podcast.
Yeah, and we're going to be back on the show.
You're already damned. We're already damned to, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
We're going to be back on there at the end of this month, actually, to join you guys in part of your Robert Rodriguez celebration.
Can we talk about that a little bit? Is that okay? Can we spoil that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, we are talking about the fucking Robert Rodriguez classic From Dusk Till Dawn.
One of his best movies, easily.
That is going to be both a hoot and a holler, I'll tell you what.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait. When I got the pick, that's the first movie I decided on. And instantly, I'm like, I need fucking Joe and Sean on this one.
Oh, it's going to be a cocktail, baby. It's going to be real good.
I'm ready to hit the titty twister, guys.
Oh, yeah, dude, sign me up for some Selma Hayek.
I'm ready for some Sex Machine. Let's go.
I'll bring the dick gun, okay?
Oh my god, it's great. Don't miss this fucking episode over on their show.
Yeah, with that being said, let's get into the clovers, the clover patch.
I also, just before we really get into this, have to note,
there's a lot of false starts to this episode.
There has to be on some level, because the alternate title of this film,
we're getting into it,
is Leprechaun's Revenge. So I just want to just like repeat an anecdote I said on our minisode for Scream, the 70s one or whatever.
Go 80s. Back and check that out. Sign up for the $2 tier on our Patreon.
When we blow each other up at some point in the future and the future civilizations are finding the old movies and they find this fucking film, what order in the Leprechaun series are they going to watch this and be totally fucking confused?
The thing is, well, we'll get to that, damn it. You're jumping the fucking proverbial shamrock shake here.
I didn't want to forget that joke. It's been weighing on me for days.
So yes, we're talking Red Clover from 2012. All right. This was produced by After Dark Films. Do either of you guys remember that? After Dark, the After Dark Horror Fest.
Yeah. Right when I moved down to Florida, I got a job at a shop called Movie Stop, and that's when it got big. So that's like they had the one with Ron Perlman in it. There was the Grave Dancers one is the one I remember the most.
Oh, dude, Grave Dancers is so fucking good.
It is very good. And then I remember seeing this cover a lot, and then you're like, hey, we're gonna talk about it. Instantly, I remembered it. So yeah, no, I'm all too familiar with this After Dark shit.
Dude, I hadn't even seen this because I checked the fuck out after like Lake Mungo. Mm-hmm. So
Lake Mungo.
Yeah, no, but Candy Graham for Lake Mungo. After Dark Horror Fest. So After Dark is a production company, mm-hmm. right? And they used to put on this thing called the After Dark Horror Fest, 8 films to die for. And they would pick up independent films and distribute them and in this film festival and then release them on DVD, which was fucking really cool at the time. And in that first run, they had, like Dustin was saying, like the Grave Dancers, which is fucking great, Unrest, The Abandoned, and The Hamiltons. And like I remember all those vividly because they also were coming out around the same time as the Masters of Horror stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I just remember that distinctly because like Masters of Horror would do like one off DVDs. I'm pretty sure too. Am I full of shit?
No, Masters of Horror. Yeah, they had a box set.
They had a box set, but didn't they have like individual releases too? Or am I crazy?
Yeah. No, they had the individual releases that made up 8, a box set of 8.
Yes. Okay. So I am.
Yeah.
Correct.
they had individual releases. Yeah.
But like I remember, like especially at the time. So this is 2006. I'm 19.
Sure.
And like I'm heavy into going to Suncoast and R. my R. friend P. Chris, who used to work there. I would come in with this long list of shit from like upcomingdvds.com. I used to like look at all the shit that was.
I was
coming
definitely
up.
There for a few of those visits. I'm just perusing whatever bullshit. Joe's got the fucking shopping list. He knows exactly what he's getting.
Checking it twice,
baby. Meanwhile, I'm like, what am I going to buy Men in Black 2? Well, it's pretty good. Maybe.
And I'm fucking walking out like I can barely see over the fucking thing. But yeah, like I would pick them up because I was all into the indie stuff, especially at the time. So I was just buying shit without even... Because at the time, you couldn't go online and be like, oh, is this a good movie or not?
Definitely it was harder to early yeah. on.
I mean, and... you could get reviews and like people like Bloody Disgusting and Arrow in the Head and Dread Central and all and Fangoria and all the heavy hitters would do these reviews and their blog style stuff. But there wasn't anybody... doing like movie review stuff now everybody yeah. and their fucking mother's doing movie reviews, but like then that was your outlet to go to, you know, and to hear about what was coming up. So it wasn't like a huge presence, but anyway, I just remember buying them all, and sure. like that was a big part of like 2006 for me. But so the After Dark Horror Fest runs from 2006 to 2011 and then they stop.
Okay. A solid 5 years.
And there's some fucking good ones in there, man. Lake Mungo, like I said, Mulberry Street. There's the Frontiers is part of that as part of those film fests. So like there's a lot of really great horror movies that had come out in the release of the After Dark Horror Fest. But they switched to so they are a production company. Okay. But up until this point, they are acquiring films, like just like Troma, acquiring films and then distributing them for money. And then in 2012, they start to do their After Dark Presents, which one of them is Red Clover.
One of the first ones, if that's when it started.
One of the first ones, yeah. Well, it's like in the middle. Everything, all of these come out within like a 2 or 3 year span of each other. So it's like 2012 to, I don't remember. But anyway, it's in the pocket there. And there's nothing that I saw on that list that was notable that I had seen. I guess... the sales didn't do well or whatever, but they strike up a deal with Sci-Fi Channel. And that's where this fucking gets dumped to. And okay. Now I'm getting to your intro point where,
right, where they changed the fucking name.
Instead of calling it Red Clover, they dropped it as Leprechaun's Revenge and they dumped that shit right to Sci-Fi.
Which...
And I don't blame them, as yeah, we'll talk about.
I like Leprechaun's Revenge as a better title, but again, you have that kind of confusion with a much bigger franchise now. Red Clover literally is what the movie is. Why would you change the title? Yeah. But what do I know?
But do you guys remember on Sci-Fi? Sci-Fi used to be awesome because every St. Patrick's Day, they would do a fucking Leprechaun marathon. And they would do the Friday 13th marathons, and they would do the Nightmare marathons, the Child's Play marathons. It was like...
I mostly remember the Twilight Zone ones around, like,
Twilight Zones, Monsters. They used to do all the reruns of stuff. And so they dropped this on St. Patrick's Day. But I guess they called it Leprechaun's Revenge to be people like, well, everybody's going to watch the fucking Leprechaun marathon. So let's call it Leprechaun's Revenge. What do you think?
Well, if Origins exists, why not?
Stop reminding me about that fucking movie.
Hornswoggle's gonna be very mad at you, Joe.
Fuck him. He's not even in a suit or anything. Like, you know what? Fuck you, Hornswoggle, because you should have been in a little suit chasing people around, spitting fucking limericks, okay?
I mean, honestly, fuck Vince McMahon, because I'm sure Hornswoggle, whatever his real name is, would have loved to do that.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
That was the whole bit. They duped us.
Yeah. I mean, Dustin, you're in Orlando. Have you ever run into any of these guys? They're at the Supercenter down there all the time.
Yeah, there was actually one night me and my wife were at Halloween Horror Nights, which is Universal's big, their spook fest. And one year we're just standing in the fucking lobby and Kevin Owens walks in.
Oh, shit.
That was pretty tight. I used to work at the Hard Rock in Orlando, and backstage we used to have Impact Wrestling, and now there's AEW back there. So it was regular to see these guys.
That's crazy.
That's kind of interesting.
My wife is psyched. So next time we go out there, first of all, we're hanging out.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And then we definitely want to catch a show there when they're doing a taping or just like a match. Do they just do matches there?
NXT is filmed at Full Sail University.
Right. Which is where my wife went to school.
Oh, yeah. So I live maybe 25 minutes away from Full Sail.
Oh, shit, man. Okay. Yeah. We're going to be boozing it and losing it for sure.
That's what I'm talking about.
So on any given St. Patty's Day, you could have ran into Hornswoggle drunk on the streets is what you're saying.
Easily. I could have been in some alley pissing on the wall and he came and fucking ate the gold off of me.
Yeah, you gotta be in a leprechaun costume, though, obviously.
Possible, though. Yeah, yeah. He fucking had his hand out.
Yeah.
There are some notable faces to talk about in this movie, but the only real behind-the-scenes-y shit we have here is the director that I just want to talk about briefly.
Okay.
His name's Drew Daywalt, and up until this point of this is like his feature-length debut, right? And he was doing all shorts up until then. So the biggest one that I was like, oh, shit, he did that? Do you guys remember Bedfellows? It was a short around 2010. If you never saw it, you definitely know the fucking end punchline.
So that was actually a, like, Halloween Horror Nights did a film contest. And it was a short film. So they would do, it was like 2 to 4 minute long short films. And Bedfellows, yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, and if you're watching at home, we're going to show the clip, obviously, if you're watching on YouTube. But if you've never saw it, you know the fucking end thing because you've seen that gif or somebody's posted that somewhere of the dude in the covers with his fucking face poking out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's real creepy.
Yeah.
And just something else I wanted to note. He did another short called The Closet, and Bonnie Aarons is in it. The nun herself.
Oh.
And she plays, fuck it, I'll spoil it. I don't give a shit. It's on YouTube if you want to watch it, but she...
Is she the nun?
Well, no, but she's like a demon.
Okay.
Or something, yeah. ? But not as well produced as Bedfellows. But it was, you know, it was fine. It's kind of neat that he had worked with her before she got big and stuff, so that's kind of cool.
And he got some practice for that closet scene in this film.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well. Look in the closet behind you!
He's the first one to ever come up with that one, right?
And that's pretty much it. Okay. And with that being said, man, you know the deal, man. You've been listening to the show forever. So we always have our guest plot crunch the movie. Can you please do the honors?
Absolutely. So we get Grandpa taking granddaughter out, and she falls. She goes into the spookiest fucking part of the woods.
The old Kenning Woods.
Eartha Kitt's back there telling them not to go back there.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about fucking Ernest today. Yeah, for sure.
So she picks the titular red clover and curses herself.
Mm-hmm.
And then fucking muck starts running amok in the city.
Yeah. Fucking Del Toro's The Fawn is running around. Dime Store's Fawn is running around.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. I wrote that down.
So, yeah, so we open up. Dude, I am telling you, when this fucking title screen came up, I'm like, yeah, I was totally making that in high school in my After Effects class. I did the same motherfucking thing for the band I was in at the time, Elevator Art. Looks like exactly the same how it comes up, like Red Clover.
These titles are fucking horrendous.
For low budget early 2000s After Effects,
they jacked up the drop shadow to 100, man. This thing is like, what do you do? This is like the stuff my professors were telling me about in college. Like, don't use drop shadow. It never looks right. Like, and I'm always like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? You're crazy. Then I saw this movie and I'm like, this is what they were talking about. Bad drop shadow effects.
If you use it, you can abuse it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, again, what was this, 2012? Yeah. I get it. Low budget. I don't always want to be the guy that's shitting on this stuff, and maybe I won't be on this review. Keep watching. But the opening credits are getting fucking slam dunked into the toilet. They're bad.
Yeah. No, but I
would
agree.
Not to mention, we get kind of like this Witcher 3-esque intro. If anyone's played Witcher 3, it's this kind of animated thing in the beginning, and I'm assuming, like, for this, it's to save money.
Well, it's like the shadow puppet kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we have the main actress, narrating over it, and she's talking about, you know, these people, her ancestors or people that founded Keening, Massachusetts, ? Is that a big Irish community, by the way?
I think it's made up, actually.
It could be, yeah. Made up.
People in Massachusetts, let us know if that even exists.
And she's played, like, Courtney Halverson, who seems like has actually done a decent amount of stuff in the last, like, 10 years, but nothing I've seen.
Well, her and one other actress in this were in True Detective. The first season.
I did see that, but I haven't seen the first season since it aired, so I couldn't place her.
I couldn't tell you who the fuck she was in that. Mm. I mean, it's a great series. Definitely check it out. But she's basically telling us, like, you want to know how I got here?
You want to hear about my heritage?
Yeah, dude, luck of the Irish.
Dude, she's limericking this intro, by the way.
Oh, my God. The writing is fucking terrible in this movie. I'm sorry. I don't know where to start with this because there's so many things to fucking point out.
Right.
But she's telling the backstory and she's like, oh, these people from Ireland came over with a leprechaun. They settled this in this fucking town, Keening, Massachusetts, and the leprechaun brought them good fortune. And then they like buried it underground or some shit.
Well, okay. So the MDU shit is about to just explode out of my brain like brain damage, and I'm just going to just fire this shit off.
As long as it's in context, go for it.
Okay, so they talk about how they kidnap this leprechaun and they bring it over to the States.
Oh, just like Dan O'Grady did, man.
Okay. Exactly.
All right, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
And then they basically imply that they sucked all its energy out of it and made it evil.
Wait, did they?
I'm surprised you didn't have it on the table already.
Did they use one of these?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
And then, you know, because I want to say it was like Lucky from Unluckiest Leprechaun initially. Then it got sucked down. It basically turned into London at some point. But then they sucked it down so much. They sucked so much goddamn cum out of this thing.
They drained it.
That it just turned into this like feral like...
I want me cum?
Yeah, like Pan's Labyrinth fucking creature. I don't even know what.
Dude,
That is also... Just to finish the MDU strain of thought, this movie is like a leprechaun movie injected with Mitten Spider's fucking syringe. This is Leprechaun. This is fucking Leaping Leprechauns. This is the Unluckiest Leprechaun.
Is this the MDU's Leprechaun Origins?
It might be. I mean, this is also Luck of the Irish.
Okay.
I had a few more in my head as I was driving over here that I've forgotten, but there's so many MDU-related things in this film.
All of this is happening at one time, right?
Yeah. Oh, elves. Elves. That's the other big one.
Well,
because this fucking
parallel
thing, when we get to it, the way it's activated is the Elfenhooten, straight up.
Well, it's the Leppenhooten.
The Leppenhooten. Leppy, as it's referred to.
The Leppy, the Lushapane.
Is that when they come settle, is that dated? Like, do they date that?
No, they just say, oh, back in the day, the Irish came over, during the potato famine or some shit.
So do you think Granny has any part of that?
I was thinking that because of the bleeders thing where they come over and everything. It's
in
possible.
Massachusetts, dude. She's living in that shore town with those fucking beasties under the ground.
Right, the H.P. Lovecraft connection.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, yeah. She's living on, I forget what the fuck the town is there in bleeders. But they're fucking hobnobbing with the Elfenhooten and the fucking Lushapane for sure.
But I love how this character, she gives this opening monologue, like you were saying, and then we cut to her and her grandpa, Pops, who's Secretary of Defense Heller from fucking 24, by the way.
Fucking Willem Devane, dude. William Devane.
He's also the president in Dark Knight Rises, which co-starred a very famous person we all know.
Christian Bale. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, obviously. Yeah. Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
Speaking of that very famous person, check out our Cocaine Bear review that is either out now or will be out soon with that very famous Tony from Act the Movies.
Factual.
Who may or may not be dressed like said Cocaine Bear in the video. If that
I don't know what you're talking about. We had the going. Cocaine Bear for the review. I don't know who this Tony guy is.
Anyway, moviedumpsterpodcast.com.
Did he do a line off of one of y'all's legs?
I'm growing it back like fucking Deadpool over here.
Yeah,
just took a bite out of her asses.
Sean got the ass cheek. I got the leg.
Yeah, Tony got the fucking scrape across the highway.
Ugh. Oh man.
Yeah. So William Devane and her name's Karen O'Hara.
Right. Karen.
Karen O'Hara, Actress Harvest.
Yeah.
Everybody's a fucking O'Halloran, O'Hara, O'Kieran,
O'Grady,
O'Grady.
O'Rourke, I'm sure.
O'Rourke is there. Yeah, for sure. This town is completely comprised of Irish folk.
I mean, that's I guess, the kind of the joke. Or, well, it's in Massachusetts, so of course.
We're going to talk about that because this starts to become a black comedy at some point.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yes.
And I feel like that just happened during production because they were like, fuck this movie. Because Billy Zane.
Billy Zane is so coked out of his mind in this film.
Billy Zane did not read the script. He showed the fuck up for this is a look. I love you, Billy. I understand you had to come and you fucking and you just did it because you needed the money. I get it.
William Devane is acting his ass off. And there's a scene where the two of them interact early in the film where you could just see like William Devane looks like he wants to like blow his brains out. Cause he's just like cause Billy Zane's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Get in the car. Oh, why would you do that? Oh, I wouldn't agree to that. Oh, yeah. He's like talking like a mile a minute. It's like, what are you? And William Devane's just like.
Yeah, stick to the script, Bill.
Like, it's in this fucking scene.
Oh, man, there's going to be a few things we're going to talk about that had to be ad-libbed.
Yeah.
There's no, I won't accept any other answer. But Karen's in the woods hunting with her pop-pop, her Irish pop-pop. And hunting boar, question mark. Is there...
Oh, Razorback, that's another one. This is also part of the injection.
Yes. Well, this is also... You think he fucking... He dug out that leprechaun, ate it, became gigantic. That's what happened, right? The magic of the... The magic of the Lushapane made that fucking boar gigantic and then transported itself to Australia. Maybe.
MDU. I mean, John Hurt's got that fucking Buchanan, man.
He zaps it out of there. Maybe.
Zaps it to Australia.
I don't think there's wild pigs in Massachusetts, is there? Am I crazy?
I mean, there's gotta be. I mean... I don't see why there wouldn't be.
I mean, I guess there could be.
I don't know. We deal with alligators.
Yeah, you got real problems.
So they're out there. They're hunting boars. Karen comes upon this place where she should not go. Clearly,
it's Ireland land.
It's the closed down version, right?
Oh, this is the old one.
It's like that old Wizard of Oz theme park that's just like abandoned in the woods.
This is like your stereotypical. You see, like every Netflix horror show.
It looks like she's going into fucking Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah, well, exactly. Or like The Witch, or you know, take your pick out of any show that's had a similar concept. It looks kind of cool, to be fair, though.
The Irish settlers felt the need to mark the place where the fuck they put this thing into the ground. Why, I don't know. Rawhead is only a hop, skip, and a jump away, man.
Well, he's actually at Ireland.
He's
land.
Actually in Ireland, yeah. Well, they imported his ass, too, to Ireland land. So he's there. He's got that stone over him so he doesn't get out again.
Well, right, but he gets out sometimes and tries to hand out concessions, but because he's such a freak, he just ends up ripping T-shirts off and getting those titties out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's got to do what he's got to do, you know?
He's horny, but he never actually inserts anything. He's too busy giving them raspberries and ripping heads off.
Well, we don't see what happens when he's not on screen, so
that's
could be giving
true.
It or getting it. The clan's definitely getting it all over the face. but yeah, so Karen picks the Red Clover TM, and it fucking like burns in her hand, so she has this big shamrock burn for the rest of the movie.
Burn
that the black spot.
That blisters? Yeah.
Yeah, it's blister. Exactly. It's like a bulbous thing on our
hand.
Well,
just what the fuck happens before you get blisters? You burn.
Well, I guess that's true. Mm-hmm. All right, you're right. But it's like, you don't wrap that or anything. You just have this bump on your hand in the shape of a shamrock, and you're like not going to the hospital. Well, I guess she does go to a doctor, and he doesn't believe her or whatever, but
well,
it's like...
Well, she does have it wrapped, but let's talk
drain
about...
Drain that fucking bitch. Get the fucking fluid out of there.
The pin just... Yeah. This... So picking this red clover... I guess
Roll over Red Rover?
Releases the leprechaun, Where the fuck was that stipulation?
I don't know. I'm just thinking where that red clover is right above them is where fucking Ernest is building that treehouse.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're on Old Lady Hackmore's property. Dude. I'm telling you right now, when those fucking settlers put that leprechaun in the ground, Phineas P. Worrell was over in the other fucking side over there putting Trantor in the fucking ground.
Thaddeus or whatever his name was.
Phineas.
Oh, it was Phineas. It was.
Yeah. Yeah, you got the fucking leprechaun there. You got Trantor. You got P-Head. Everyone just buried in this fucking area back there, dude.
Oh, yeah. P-Head's fucking hanging from a noose. He's going to fall down that fucking well, man. It's also, the MDU woods.
Also, like, the red leaf clover is in the middle of a bunch of regular four-leaf clovers, by the way. As, you know, of course, established in Leprechaun that it's a very common thing you just find wherever.
Freshly plucked from the clover patch.
Yeah.
The red clover TM.
But this thing, like, magically burns, CGI burns into her hand, like you're saying, and then she just kind of, like, fucks off. But, like, this king comes out of the ground like the elf in Elves.
Oh, yeah, well, that's right. He's right next to it. The Nazis put the fucking elf...
They're
right
holding hands underground!
Trantor's over here. Just so you could see this, right? Trantor's here. The Leisha Payne's right here. Or Lucia, however they say it. And then Elfinhutin's over
now,
here.
Now, okay, so is...
It's a triangle, dude. It makes an isosceles triangle.
You need, like, a map of the stars for that place.
Yes. John Hurt's already done that.
We are in Massachusetts, so also the Headless Horseman's buried under there, too.
Well, yeah. Well,
Christopher Walken's walking around with those sharp teeth.
A little farther down, but yeah.
Yeah, same forest, though. Again, MDU. Now we have a magical forest full of dead bodies. That's we have fun. A cemetery full of dead bodies.
Well, fucking Turok the Troll's there, too, man.
Yeah, and those fucking, the trolls from Bilbo's Journey. They're turned to stone out there somewhere.
Correct.
I just imagine them, like, it's like a fucking cul-de-sac. Like, you see, like, Leprechaun out there in his little robe checking his mail. And there's fucking P-Head over there with his fucking cup of coffee just swirling it around.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Lubden's
good morning.
Welcome.
Yeah, good morning, P-Head.
Lubden's got his Irish coffee and his joint, his clover joint.
Hi. Gonna go fuck some ladies up in an elevator.
Yeah, they're not gonna survive.
Yeah. Fucking him to death.
By the way,
you're talking about Tony from Hack the Movies.
Go over to Hack the Movies, check out our Leprechaun in the Hood episode we did with Tony. It's definitely out now. Go check it out if you haven't yet.
Lep in the Hood and he's down to no good. Lep in the Hood and he's down to no good. That's the last time I get to do it this year.
Fuck. So yeah, she releases the titular. What the fuck
well, depending on what version.
Well,
Joe,
yes, this
the
is
sci-fi
a,
version.
I don't know what revenge it's getting on who. I guess it is getting revenge, kind of ? It has no real motive in this movie.
I mean,
it keeps changing.
The plot is very light in this film. It is actually getting revenge, you find out.
Well, that's one of my big problems with this is that we're just trying to make this fucking movie reach 83 minutes is what the problem is. So Billy Zane shows up and I swear
this hat also, by the way.
He's wearing like a Panama Jack hat and it's not a fucking sheriff hat at all.
His fucking fedora is great.
All bent up and shit, like he sat on it on the bus.
I didn't even realize he was the damn sheriff at first. I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
it's just Billy Zane. He showed up.
Yeah, that's when he first shows up and he's talking fast as hell, like he didn't read the script.
Fucking Zane train rolls in, and I laughed out loud because you can tell that he did not read the script because he's ad-libbing clearly because he's fumbling words.
He's slurring.
He's slurring. Maybe he was hitting the booze with William.
That's what I'm saying, man. He's like either on coke or something. Like something's not right with that guy's head.
Like, he's like, you were out there in the woods and you're a leopard. What? You got attacked? I don't know. What are you doing out there? You don't know why. You can't take care of yourself. Goodbye.
Your grandpa's a drunk.
What are you doing out there? Why?
And they'll remind you of that about 50 more fucking times in the movie.
Because we don't have anything compelling to talk about.
What I liked is him and his daughter do this to Pops a lot. Like, so why did you do... You know what? Don't even fucking answer me. I'm just going to answer for you. Like, they both do it to him. And that's... What do you mean you went out there? You don't never fucking mind. Don't tell me why you went out there.
Yeah.
That's like, don't worry, Dad. I've been hunting since I was 10. No, you haven't. You can't take care of yourself.
Right.
Yes, I can. It's like similar to Leaping Leprechauns, where it's like no one believes the grandpa, obviously for different reasons than in that movie.
I mean,
kind of similar, actually, because they both believe in leprechauns.
Yeah, but grandpa is literally having the DTs in that movie. And he's like, look, it's right there on the fucking, on the suitcase. I brought them over with me, the king of the leprechauns.
I mean, they kind of are implying in this film that Pops has his fucking DTs.
He has to drink to forget, man.
Well, we find that out, but the town is like, get the seventh. You know, this is your seventh drink. You're not going to get the eighth
unless you cut off the leprechaun shit.
At the fucking bar.
So,
Happy's Pub.
So, yeah, we go down to the town, and you see Happy's Pub, who's run by this guy, Wally.
Oh, I thought it was Happy. I didn't catch the name.
People call him Happy, and people call him Wally. And he's credited as Wally whatever.
Is he Happy Wally?
Who the fuck could care?
I mean, he doesn't make it out of the film, so yeah, who could care?
We get introduced to this kid, Dax, who I'm convinced they forgot his name later in the movie, and they just call him What's-His-Face just because.
Yeah, I wrote that shit down, dude.
Dude, that was the funniest line in the movie.
I'm telling you right now, at some point during this fucking film, everybody just stopped giving a shit.
William Devane definitely forgot the character name, and the director's like, just go with it, just go with it. It's kind of funny, just keep it in there.
There's not much to this movie.
No.
Those are the threat. Like, there's a lot of, where's the leprechaun? I don't know. Did you see him? No. Did you see the leprechaun? No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I forget how I already started saying this and just forgot to finish the thought or not. But regardless, like, I know a lot of movies are made in Premiere. Adobe Premiere, for those that don't know.
Okay.
This show is made with Adobe Premiere.
Yes. TM.
But the reason why it's noticeable in this is because they use all the default wipe effects for every transition, like it's a Star Wars or Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah, the fucking amount of wipe dissolves.
Like, you shouldn't think about that. You shouldn't be watching a movie like, oh, I know what that was made with. You should just be enjoying it, it in.
First of all, it has nothing to do with what program they use it. And everything
that's the editor in me, I guess.
Yeah,
but
it has everything to do with the fact that it's overused to fuck. And it's just put together like shit because they didn't know, like they just had shit missing and they were just like, okay, throw that fucking, throw the wipe in, baby. It looks cinematic.
Wait till you see this edit, Joe. There's going to be wipes from me to you to Dustin. Why not? The movie did it. We could do it.
It's beautiful. So Karen has the burn, has the four leaf clover thing. And the whole thing is she's cursed. Okay. And each day that she has this burn on her hand, one of the petals of her blister falls out. And when they all drop, she's fucking dead. Does the leprechaun kill her? We don't know. Does she just drop fucking dead? I don't know.
She goes to a doctor and he's like, yeah, your blood count's really high. Look too good.
Your white blood cell count's high, which is what happens when your body fights an infection. And he's like, I can't figure it out. I don't know. And she's like, do you believe in elves? I mean, leprechauns, Lucia Paynes.
Mummies.
Not elves, elves.
Oh.
Yeah. Before we get to the doctor.
Okay.
We get this gratuitous scene with her, like, in her underwear, having this dream. Now, this, I want to talk about this because she has these dreams throughout the film.
Was that a Sci-Fi Channel requirement? They had to put that in there?
At one point, she says she's haunted by a leprechaun, and I'm like, what the fuck? She has a line, because she sees the leprechaun in all these weird places. Like, yeah. It's literally a ghost or a hallucination.
A lot of jump scares, just for the sake of it.
And, like, they couldn't make the decision on whether they wanted the leprechaun to actually be there, or if they wanted it to be, like, she's infected with, like, the leprechaun something, right?
Like, she's turning into a leprechaun?
Yeah, like a were-leprechaun, like Leprechaun 3, but that's not happening either.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. It's just like mind games fucking with her, I guess, because of the disease, disease.
I guess, but I wanted to note that because multiple times in the movie, she has these things where there's a whole fucking scene, and we're talking like 2 or 3 minutes of a scene, and then we find out that it's a fucking dream or a hallucination.
Oh, yeah. Kind of speaking of Leprechaun in the Hood, they do that a couple times in that movie, too, and it's a little frustrating.
And you know what that is?
Well,
it's bad editing
and padding.
We didn't have the fuck. Yeah, it's padding. It's a cutscene, or we didn't have the footage to fucking fill this out correctly. That's what that is. Insert wipe.
Again, they also do one of my favorite things in this film constantly of character goes into like a room or something, cuts. You're like, all right, we're going to another character, or like the B story. No, we're just going to that character like later, going to another location. It's like, that was a weird transition. It happens a lot, so I guess they didn't really think about it while editing it.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a nitpicky thing, but it was kind of bothersome to me.
Well, we get all of these kills.
And
they go from kind of neat to really shitty.
Yeah.
And again, I can't stress the fact enough that, like, the leprechaun, or Lucia Paynes, doesn't have any real motivation. So this thing eats gold. Okay.
That's its only motivation to get the gold and eat it.
Eat it because it gets stronger.
But that it never gets like Ultra Instinct or Super Saiyan powers or anything. It just is like, well, it's more, it heals faster or something. We don't really explain it. Just don't think about it.
There's no magic. There's no illusions. There's no like mischief. It's just a literal like creature eating people. This motherfucker drives a car at one point.
Dude, fucking poor Carl. Poor Carl, man.
Oh, Carl.
Carl, this Bobcat Goldweight looking motherfucker.
He's like, hey, Karen, I found your phone number from your dad or whatever. Like,
Billy Zane, I'm sorry, my brain's broken with the fucking writing in this movie. And like, even like taking notes, it was tough because...
Yeah,
because
it's like, they don't really name characters until like they're almost out of the movie, which, whatever. No. But it's a little hard to keep... characters in line when you don't know what the fuck they're called.
That's not my problem. My problem...
Well, that just adds to the chaos.
My problem is when he, like, comes up on her, Karen's walking. Now, in the beginning, she, you know, her dad shows up and she's like, what are you doing in the woods? Apparently, Billy Zane had filled out a fucking police report that she got attacked, By this guy who... this guy, Carl, who has his own blog about fairy tales and like... cryptids and like local legends and stuff. He's got a blog. Don't forget that. Also the blog.
I don't see it in the paper or the blog.
yeah, in the newspaper or the blog. He's like dumping this exposition on her like, yeah, I found that police report that your dad said you got attacked by a monster in those Keening Woods where there's a leprechaun. Remember that? And you should know because your grandpa's fucking crazy because he saw that leprechaun or something and you're descended from the people who put the leprechaun in the thing. Is there a leprechaun? Is that what you saw? A leprechaun? And then he has her fucking cell phone number or something. It's just written so fucking bad.
And then she eventually believes it's a leprechaun. And then like Dustin was just saying, he kind of goes to investigate where she thinks she saw it in the beginning. And he has like a piece of gold because he's like, oh, I'm going to give it the gold to debate it out. And then he gets run over by the leprechaun in his own fucking car.
Hold on.
Taking a page out of Lupton's book, literally.
Carl is trying to the whole movie to get her to tell her what she saw and like the story. Right, he can do a write-up. So he takes it upon himself to go out into the woods with like this trophy made of gold.
Yeah, and it's or a whatever. Very weird trophy to begin with. It's obviously like a feather. From writing. Yeah.
And he's like, "Here, leprechaun, I got this gold for you."
Yeah, exactly.
It's like this whole jarring fucking scene where he like runs away from it, and then the leprechaun is in his car, and he must be getting fucking driving lessons from Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah,
I'm telling you,
Rumpelstiltskin's teaching everybody. He's teaching Michael Myers. Teaching Lubden. He's got his own driving school.
Hey, the fey folk take care of each other, man.
Yeah, Rump in the fucking passenger seat with a clipboard. Just like, all right, make a fucking U-turn right here.
Wearing the fucking sunglasses and smoking a cigar.
He's working for fucking Beldar from Coneheads because he's got his own school. We got to do Coneheads. We got to make that official. I love that movie.
You can tell how much we want to talk about Red Clover.
Yeah.
Carl kind of like, throughout the whole movie, tries to get everyone to say shit about it. So at one point, he goes up to... Jen, he's like, yeah. So what the fuck happened? She goes, well, last time I said something, you took it out of context. He's like, oh yeah, you mean the tornado that brought the sharks into the lake? The Sharknado.
So Sharknado comes. I guess Sharknado's in production at this point because they fucking
Origins. Yeah.
Talking about Origins, there you go. There's a big one for you.
Sci-Fi was producing that at the time, I guess. And then if you watch Sharknado, they name drop Red Clover in it. And I'm like, who could fucking care?
Do they drop Ghost Shark in it, though? Is there a Ghost Shark in that Sharknado?
Ghost Shark's a better movie than Sharknado.
That's debatable.
So yeah, like Dustin was just saying, Carl's trying to fucking get everybody to talk about what's going on, and it's just a really useless character, and the way that he gets dispatched is fucking ludicrous, like we just said. But there's this other side character called, what's his face? Dax? Yeah.
Who's just like, has a crush on the main character, and it's very obvious throughout, but she doesn't pick up on it.
He's had a crush on her since fifth grade, you know.
At one point, he's like, yeah, you don't remember? You beat up that guy that was like making fun of me or something. They're like, give me mahogany.
Oh, that was the year that Grandpa told me how to box.
I'm just like, I guess that's something that could actually potentially happen between two teenagers, sure.
I mean, okay, sure. But like, he's like, yeah, it took me a long time. Or like, you know, finally, the first time I actually talked to you was because I wanted to help you with your leprechaun problem because I love to read books about mythology and cryptids and fantasies and elves and goblins and shit.
He has a book with that's called MILF, by the way.
MILF.
Medieval Irish Legends and Folklore.
Which is kind of funny, but like...
It's one of the better jokes in the movie.
Which is a problem with me, though, because like, that's fine. It's funny, but the problem is like another character... Because his sister comes up to like see him.
Who's basically like the deputy, I guess.
She's a deputy. But like the whole exchange of the scene of how she gets introduced is awful because like...
Yeah,
she's coming to reprimand him because he didn't answer his text messages from his mom? Question mark. She's like, "I've been driving all over town looking for you." I'm like, "That's the best you got? Was that you were looking for him because he didn't answer his text messages from his mom?"
I mean,
why didn't we get introduced to her with Billy Zane somewhere?
I'm probably rewriting this script on the fly. How the fuck do we get this woman in here? She's not answering the phone. She was driving around looking for him.
Oh shit, we forgot to fucking introduce this character. Okay, you're now his sister. Go say something about a MILF book. Because she has to tell us the joke, because that's funny.
Well, we need her alive so she can plot dump every time she appears on screen. Right. So no other character can do that. That's her purpose.
Well, she's competing with Devane. William Devane's got a plot dump too, man.
The plot dumpers, that's their role in the film. Wow, really accomplished something there, folks.
We kind of glossed over a couple of the deaths.
I mean, some of them are just stupid. They're just because blood spraying on the wall.
Shit's happening, and we just cut to the leprechaun killing people for whatever reason. One guy's got a gold tooth. He gets it ripped out, and it fucking eats it.
Yeah.
Bam Bam Bigelow's fishing down at the fucking fishing hole.
They found fucking Dom's car when they went to investigate. There was like a fucking case of Coronas in there, dude.
Oh, they sure did.
Dude, that looked like Mad Max's fucking interceptor.
Yeah.
It's fucking... It's Jody's fucking Cuda, man. Oh, Phantasm.
There you go. There you go.
I think those were the only two up until then, I feel like.
Yeah, that was it. And like... At this point, everybody's like, shut the fuck up about the leprechaun.
Yeah.
And then Billy Zane gets called in because of this guy's dead, and the deputy finds this Bam Bam Bigelow, he's dead. His guts ripped out all over the place. And,
well, they also find the hoof print in the ground.
Oh, yeah, the fucking Jersey Devil hoof print is in the fucking ground.
Well, you know, look for something that walks on two legs.
Unless your goat can walk with two legs. Billy, I gotta hand it to Billy, man. He's just
he does not care at all.
He does not. The way this man delivers every line is I just want to talk about this real quick because it's the fucking waffle scene is in here and is in between these scenes, and it's like, Billy Zane is like trying to be a good dad or whatever, making her a waffle, but then also coercing her to tell him what she saw in the woods. And this whole time, their interactions between each other, I'm telling you, he's fucking making it up as he goes along. Because he's like, well, what about your waffle? You gonna eat that waffle? Hey, don't forget to eat that waffle. I'm gonna put all, he puts like a shit ton of butter on it, and he's like, I didn't have syrup, so I put honey. And I'm thinking to myself, like, that was like something production did, right? They're like, well, we didn't have syrup, so we had honey. But Billy Zane,
that
I feel like...
That was craft services.
Yeah, but I feel like Billy Zane was like, I'm totally going to point that out and be like, I don't know why we have honey, but I put honey on it. I don't know. There's your waffle. Eat the fucking waffle. What'd you see in the woods again? I don't remember. I got to go to work. See ya. Eat your waffle.
It was more than likely just there to sit on the fucking table to look like a jar of syrup.
Yeah. That's what that was. Yeah, if he never said it was honey, I would have never thought anything of it. It looked like syrup. He's like, it comes out really slow.
Yeah, see, I fucked it. Whatever. It's stupid. This movie's stupid. Thanks for the paycheck.
Let me put my hat on. I gotta go.
Yeah, the best part is like halfway through that conversation to the end, he's in there fumbling with his fucking zipper trying to get his jacket on. And he can't do it. And walks away.
He just gives up. Eat your waffle. So there's like bloody hoof prints for whatever reason. I guess the leprechaun dips his foot in blood and like makes a footprint.
Well, that's, yeah. At one point, Billy Zane's in the fucking woods with the deputy, and he's like, oh, yeah. He sees it, and he's like, he does a double take, and it disappears, of course. And then he's like, hey, would you believe me if I told you I just saw a leprechaun? And she's like, I don't know about that, chief.
You're starting to sound like your dad.
Because there's a lot of that going on, which, again, okay, fine. Yeah, you'd probably, in a real-life situation, that would be the conversation, maybe delivered less stiltedly. But, yeah, okay, sure.
I guess.
But also, just, I want to comment on this. And this leprechaun puppet, by the way.
It's a guy in a suit.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Well, whenever...
Except when it's horrible CGI composite.
Whenever it's not a guy in a suit, it looks like dog shit. Like, the intro when they show it, like, poking its head out with the red eyes. When it gets, like, thrown around a couple times, it doesn't even look like it's the right shape. It looks like just a barrel going down the road
Yeah, we'll talk about that. That's just, the finale.
Again, I get it's sci-fi. I get it's an independent film. I understand there wasn't a lot of money going around to make this. But, like, the consistency is my problem. At least get it consistent or semi-consistent, not totally different ends of the fucking end zone.
That's because you have a guy directing this who's really good at shorts.
Well, okay, yeah.
And
that definitely is part of it.
And there's, like, scenes that are good. But when you're trying to put them all together, that's when you get the fucking fades, the wipes, the oh shit, we forgot about this thing that happened earlier in the movie, and now we're just totally disregarding it.
Yeah, so let's insert another random scene of them at the house looking this shit up. Just the Tobin spirit guy just thumbing through it. We need some more plot. Let's look through this thing and see if we can find anything.
Real quick.
We found a shillelagh with horseshoes on it.
Real quick, the doctor that we only see for like a second.
Oh yeah, I kept bringing it up and we skipped over.
Well, there's nothing to it. We said the scene and then just randomly later we cut to him and he's in his office and the fucking leprechaun is there, question mark. He gets into an elevator and it's shot like some shit.
Well, that's when McGrady comes down, falls out of the roof.
He fell out of the thing, Clover from the Clover Patch. But he didn't give him the chance to do it this time because that fucking thing kills his ass off camera.
It's just, they had characters they introduced, so they just figured, well, I guess these are the victims. It doesn't really matter if it makes sense.
Up the body count. And there's one, before we get into like the last part of this movie, there's one more character we got to introduce. Her name's Amanda. She just pops up randomly. You don't really give a shit about her. The only reason she's there is because she's the fucking queen of the St. Paddy's Day parade that we see at the end of this movie.
Right, and her family has relevancy to the end game, I guess.
I guess because it's just kind of thrown in there at the end, like, oh, the other O'Hallorans or O'Grady's or whoever the fuck the other Irish family is must have it.
Well,
she's literally there to be like Karen's friend, but not really, because Dax kind of takes that role of being like the smitten friend who wants to be her boyfriend, who also knows a lot about legends and shit to help her out. Question mark.
He's got that MILF book.
Oh, dude, he's looking to fucking go deep. He does get a little mahogany. You're right.
Technically, yeah. Technically, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Let's talk about this fucking shillelagh real quick. So they find out they have to kill the leprechaun.
Well, she specifically has to.
Does she?
That's what he says. I don't know if she actually has to, but he's like, you gotta defeat it to defeat the curse.
I don't know.
Meanwhile, everybody else is helping her the entire time.
Because then we find out, like, Devane says that, well, we're O'Haras, and we put that leprechaun in the ground, and I took its tooth. You think this is a boar tooth? Heck no. It's a leprechaun tooth. That's why I'm so lucky, and that's why I turned out to be a fucking penniless drunk that sits in the fucking bar all the time.
Because that's how it works. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's gluck, but it's just all bad, right?
Yeah.
Well, just like unlucky leprechaun, same thing.
Maybe it's fucking one of Lubden's teeth he's got around his neck.
Ooh.
It's possible. So they have to build this fucking this piece of oak with these four horseshoes on it, and then that's like the kind of the crux of what the last, I don't know, 35 minutes of this film, we're collecting these we're on a fetch quest for these things.
The infinity horseshoes, yeah. They're going fucking
my god.
Stormbreaker out there.
By the way, this thing has a name, this weapon. It's a four-leaf cleaver.
Well, she calls it very cheeky about it.
Yeah.
I kind of like it, actually.
So...
because these things fucking turn green, like Bilbo's sword when orcs get near when it touches the leprechaun.
Yeah, when it gets close.
Well, it's like a vampire with a crucifix. These four lucky ones that were from the old country.
You can't just take any old horseshoe and fight this leprechaun. It has to be those ones.
Could have been an interesting scene if they wanted to play that up, but there's no, like, character we're getting towards the end here, so we'll have our final thoughts, but I think that's one of my biggest problems with this movie is, like, a lot of times the way that slashers are, it's like a Little Rubber Monster. So I don't even know what this is. I guess not a Little Rubber Monster. I guess it's kind of a slasher.
It's a creature feature.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
It's not a slasher.
I guess my point being is, like, usually in these films,
not a Little Rubber Monster movie.
It's absolutely not. You said that. Yeah, I don't know where my brain went there.
I kind of wish it was, but anyway. It would
have been better. We could have got some of those pygmy dinosaurs in there. Why not? But my point is, a lot of times in these films, you have characters that some are likable, some are not. This movie is just like, we have this family. The only one, I guess, that's a little unlikable is Billy Zane because he's such a pain in the ass the whole movie. But he's really just annoying. He's not like a bad guy or someone you want to see taken out. So there's never really any tension with that element of it. It's a lot of just local yokels getting killed. So you're just like, I don't really care. And there's never anyone that really poses a threat to this thing.
No. And like the bar guy gets killed. He gets pulled into a dumpster like fucking Killer Clowns.
But I guess my point with that is like you could have had a cool scene where like, the anti-hero, let's call him, you know, the guy who's not totally there to save the day, but he's going to help anyway. You know, that kind of that trope from a lot of horror movies.
Yeah.
He has the lucky leprechaun horseshoe, but then like, oh shit, he actually has a regular one and he gets killed. Like, why didn't we get that? I don't know. Maybe I'm just like fishing at this point because I wanted more, but like the kills, I don't know, man. The kills are very disappointing in this film. They're not varied enough. Like, when I'm sitting there saying, wow, we got run over, that's different. That's not a good thing.
It doesn't make any sense.
I did like the, when they went to the bar, the kid that got his face ripped off. I thought that was pretty tight.
Dude, they go to the Silver Shamrock. They shut down, you know, fucking,
God damn it.
I forgot about that. Yeah, Michael Myers' mask is in there.
Yeah, they shut it down. They killed the fucking guy from Stonehenge, blew it up. They didn't stop the mask from hurting everybody.
Tom Atkins is yelling into that telephone.
Tom Atkins blew out that fucking place, though. Burned it down.
But I liked when Amanda was like, you guys are looking for beer. I thought you guys wanted to do something more fun with me.
Implying a threesome.
This chick was ready to get fucking gang busted in that Silver Shamrock place, man.
Is there a black leather couch back there or something?
These guys are like, where's the... They keep the beer in here, man.
Richard Brake was looking at his watch wondering where they were. He's sitting there with the lotion ready.
They're there, and they're looking for beer. The reason they're there in this abandoned brewery at the edge of fucking town is because these kids think that there's fucking beer in there for the parade.
I mean, there is.
I know, but, like, why?
Because they're underage. They can't go buy it. They're
idiots. That's not what I'm talking about. Why the fuck would the town put the beer in an abandoned fucking brewery on the edge of town for the parade? Like, why wouldn't it just be at the bar?
So they could make their Halloween 3 reference. I don't know.
I guess. Yeah. Well, she doesn't, her wish does not come true. She does not get two shillelaghs in the old hole there.
She gets a tiara, which is going to end up being a wardrobe malfunction a little later.
But no, Dusty, you're right. One of the coolest kills is here because, like, in this brewery, which also has the second to last horseshoe they need, they get their face ripped off by this fucking thing, which is kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah. Again, like, I'm like thinking back on it, maybe there are some cool kills, just they're not very memorable.
It's few and far between.
Again, also, just saw Cocaine Bear like 2 days ago, and now I watch this movie. That was maybe part of my issue with this. I saw a movie that really went over the top with the gore, and this one, again, two totally different things.
I think the face rip, and then somebody who gets the bartender gets his hand bitten off when he puts it in the fucking trash.
Oh, yeah, and they see like the green blood that really is never brought up again, like in the dumpster.
Okay. I'm sorry we're so scatterbrained, or me personally, I'm so scatterbrained on this because, like, it's just a lot of bullshit. But the green blood in the fucking thing, there's another police scene where they see there's like
three or four.
There's
of
like
those.
17 fucking police crime scene things in this. And like,
for Dexter to walk out.
Must have been another leprechaun killing, huh? So the lady cop and Billy Zane are standing there, and she says blank face to him, I sent the hoof print out to the lab, and there's no hoofed animals like this in the zoological record. And Billy Zane repeats this to her, like fucking with her. And I feel like this is a completely ad-lib scene because she starts laughing.
And they just leave it in there.
And they just left it in because at this point in the movie, just like the rest of us, we're like, all right, this is fucking ridiculous. Like, let's just wrap this up. Billy Zane's has had enough of this shit.
But I think with the amount of police scenes we've seen, Carl kind of gives us that exposition earlier. He goes, you remember back in 1843 when there were 14 mass murders and shit? So I think that's what is playing off of that.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha. Okay. Oh, I think he does say that. Man, it's a little too late for that. That shit should have been talked about at the fucking beginning.
Yeah.
Well, because at this point, we're basically at the parade, and like they know they need the last horseshoe, and they know Amanda has it. And at first, Amanda's mother's like, yeah, we have this horseshoe if you want it to be part of your float. It's like part of her heritage. It would mean a lot. She's like, I don't want that fucking shit.
I
want
to be pretty, she says.
But now that she's freaked out, she's like, Mom, can I have the horseshoe, please?
I need it for a little luck. Well, because Karen and them are like, shit, The other O'Grady's or O'Hallorans or whatever the fuck they're called have
the
that O'Fuckerins. Last. Yeah, they have that last horseshoe. The parade! We must go! She gives her the fucking horseshoe. And immediately, in the shadows, is the leprechaun and kills this fucking woman.
You get that fucking sick, that fucking Cadillac from Nightmare on Elm Street driving off, pulling the float. And you see Freddy Arnold come out and grab the fucking lady.
That's exactly what happens, dude.
Yeah, like, it's just out of nowhere. Just because, let's kill this woman, I guess.
Two things right here. She puts the fucking horseshoe on the float. So it's right behind her. It's very close proximity.
Should have worn it on her damn neck.
And then Billy Zane comes riding in with this fucking monster truck Jeep. I feel like this is a stipulation of Billy, right? Billy was like, contract. I'm not doing the rest of this fucking movie unless I can drive this truck. And he does.
Down the street towards the fucking trumpets. They come out of their bum rush the fucking... Oh, get out of the way, get out of the way! This leprechaun triple Lindy's into the air with this horrible CGI.
Hits him with the swanton.
Dude, he might as well be doing this like up the fucking side of this float.
Lands in front of this fucking girl. Looks at her for a second and just rips the back of her head off.
He like... It jumps and, like, punches her, and she goes, ah! And he takes the crown and, I guess, eats it. And then she's got a big fucking hole in the back of her head.
And then, like, the kryptonite activates, and he's, ah!
Yeah, but, like, the horseshoe is already close to her. So, like, how did he even get that close to the horseshoe before it reacted? It's on the ground, eating the fucking crown, and then there's just, like, an insert shot of it looking up at it and goes, ah! Fucking horseshoe, and then proceeds to kill Lady Cop with really bad CGI blood.
This leprechaun, or whatever the fuck, what do they call this thing? Lepshin or some shit?
My Lepshin? No, the Leshapain.
The Leshapain? This thing's one, it's a speedster, so there's that, because all this jumping and flipping around and fucking teleporting and everything. But also, it has no object permanence, so the second it like stops looking around, it's like, all right, the gold must eat the gold, forget everything else.
It's like everybody freaks out and runs away. There's this guy taking a piss in an alley.
That was Dustin.
That's my boy.
Like, this could have been such a funny scene. I'm like, is the leprechaun going to rip this guy's dick off or something? No.
Go into his dick, maybe. I don't know.
The leprechaun puts his hand out, like, give me your gold. Who, he's never done that to anybody except the first guy he killed. The rest of the people, he didn't give a fuck.
Nah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Just attacked on sight.
Killed this fucking guy. Karen turns the corner with the horseshoe and jumps on it and stabs the shit out of it. Then she gets thrown off. Then Dax picks up the horseshoe and jumps on this thing and goes to kill it. And then I guess it kills him?
Yeah, he fell on the horseshoe blade.
Is that what happens?
Yeah.
Because he's just to the side and fucking Devane comes up. He's like, oh, what's his face is dead.
Line of the movie.
And she goes, what's his face?
What's his face? It was Dax. Dax.
I just made out with him and he's the one that told me about all this wood I need to get.
Oh, yeah. He sure did.
Yeah. Wood.
So they just like leave his body there.
Oh, yeah. She kisses him on the couch and he goes, wood.
Oh, God. He does do that. You're right. And she's like, oh, because I kissed you? He's like, No!
No, we have to build the fucking four-leaf cleaver.
Right.
So here's the I don't if you want to call it the climax. We're back in the Keening Woods, fellas, okay? And we're going to put this leprechaun to fucking rest, it seems, because Devane has picked up the leprechaun who is stunned off the ground from this horseshoe. Even though fucking Dax is dead, he somehow stunned this thing.
He, like, drags it away off screen. You can tell it's, like, a body double and everything.
He puts it in a fucking sheet and puts it in his back of his car, and Billy Zane goes, hey, that's not a memento. Or
he's like, see you later, guys! I'm going back to the woods!
Yeah, and he's like, okay, see ya. I guess we have to go now, so they follow him.
Billy Zane pulls up and he's like trying to have a heart to heart with his daughter.
Oh my, this was the best fucking part of the whole last movie.
I 100% agree with you. I fucking was dying laughing. This is what I'm talking about. Billy Zane at this point was like, I'm about to have my death scene. Fuck y'all. Because they were like, well, make up a story. Well, you lost your wife, right? Go for it, Billy.
This was the dumbest thing ever, by the way.
I'm telling you, this was not scripted. This is Billy Zane being a fucking wise ass.
And this is why this movie doesn't fucking work.
The least of its problems.
It doesn't take itself seriously for a fucking second. Because, okay, fine, Billy Zane, make up this wacky story about why your wife is gone or dead or whatever. Okay, fine. But he tells this unbelievable story that would never fucking happen in a million years.
That's where the joke,
on Black Friday, we got separated in the crowd.
Hold on, you're fucking this
up. I've been beeping her for years and she doesn't get back to me. like, what is the joke? What is the joke?
That's the joke. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Fuck you! Lucky fucking charms, asshole! That's a better joke!
I'm telling you that, like, the whole movie, they've taken it seriously. And then as this movie progresses, everybody stops giving a fuck. Yeah, okay. Everybody stops giving a fuck on the production. And Billy Zane is there acting his ass off for this scene because he's like, you know, I lost your mother. It was Black Friday, you know, the busiest shopping day of the year, you know. And, you know, there was just a rush, this crowd. Stepped on her. I lost her. I went to the lost and found and everything, and she wasn't there. And not that she died or got trampled or something. He fucking lost her mom. And then he goes on to say, like, I lost everything. How could I protect this town from a leprechaun? Look, they fucking forgot the N in Connor on my name tag.
Yeah, Coner.
Coner. What is that?
Fucking Geober, yeah. Goober. Yeah. But no, he goes, yeah, I was fist fighting this mom and her son for the last fucking console.
Yeah. Oh, the console thing, because he's like, we went there to get you a game console.
Yeah, like
because
a PS2 or something, or a Wii.
We went to go get you a game console because it was half off. I mean, it was a great deal. How could we pass it up? We had to go.
And so he finally is at the end of his Sam Jackson fucking monologue, yeah. And this thing, just like in Deep Blue Sea, comes out of nowhere and rips his ass out the fucking window.
Because his last thing he says is like, huh, it should have been me who was dead. And then it like pulls him out and he's like in half. He's bisected under the fucking car.
Well,
and Karen
like
pulls
fucking
her legs out.
This thing's like Scyther or some shit. It's got blades on the arms, obviously. Baraka maybe is a better example.
Baraka. So Billy Zane just fucks out of the movie. Now we have like our badass Ripley moment because she goes to fight.
In air quotes, but okay.
She goes to fight the fucking leprechaun or something. And like in the scuffle, Pops is there and it kills him and runs away.
He has the longest death scene. He's like, well, you know, I take this tooth and
it's lucky, but not really because I'm dead.
Make sure to pay my taxes for me.
Pay my tab at Happy's Bar, okay? Oh, wait, he's dead too. Don't worry about it.
I think I left the microwave on or the toaster. I left the garage door open.
Have fun driving that big monster truck.
Yeah, anyway, goodbye. And he dies. And she, oh, Pops! No! She's way more upset about the grandpa. Like, her dad dies. She kind of, like, runs over his intestines on the way out.
Oh, well, later, yeah, she runs him over, pulls him in half. Well, they didn't have a real good relationship, I guess. So here we are. Fucking, here we go, baby. It's go time. We're gonna fuck this leprechaun up. Dad's dead. Pop's dead. We're gonna fucking strap on the bandolier of shotgun shells, grab the shotgun with the fucking Gaelic symbols carved into it.
Why she even needs that, I don't know, but okay.
She's gonna fuck you Lucky Charms in about 5 minutes. So she jumps in this Jeep. This big ass fucking like Ace Ventura when nature calls fucking Jeep.
Like with these... a glove.
Oh yeah, dude.
Yeah, this is where she runs over her dad's fucking corpse
runs
just to get out of the
way.
Runs
over his corpse to chase the leprechaun because he's like running down the road.
Shout everywhere.
The leprechaun's running down the road and then we have this fucking, you brought it up already, but that Ernest Scared Stupid scene where the fucking leprechaun is on top of this Jeep like trying to grab her and shit. He's on the fucking windshield at one point.
That's
rim
also
shots in the fucking in the passenger seat barking at it.
That's a Lubden move too. They all share that one. They're all jumping on the roof, Chucky included.
Lubden doesn't fuck around. Lubden just rips the fucking motor out of your car so you can't go anywhere.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
While limericking, obviously.
Yes, that's sorely missed in this movie. I'll tell you what.
We just get it in the intro. That's it.
Not even from the leprechaun.
No.
So she runs this thing over and gets out.
Right, this is when we get the horrible CGI of like a barrel-looking leprechaun flying
behind
them.
It looks like a fucking, it looks like a square falling off the back of this truck. Can somebody explain to me what the fuck blows up that she shoots?
No, because the whole time I thought it was the ragtop, and then I'm like, the ragtops don't fucking do that, because it's cloth.
It's also behind her.
Yeah, maybe she had to have that slow-mo, you know what I mean? That slow-mo walk away when she shoots it and then puts the fucking gun on her shoulder.
Dude, she goes, hey, Leppy. Happy St. Patrick's Day. And she like shoots it, misses it, blows something up in the background. I don't know what the fuck it was.
Well, it was supposed to be its head is what I think it was supposed to be.
No fucking way, dude. It was supposed to be like a gas thing or something, but there's nothing there. There's just an explosion. Like somebody forgot to put the fucking post a gas station pump or some shit there.
Possible. Either way, this thing's stunned or dead or something, and she reburies it.
She beats the shit out of it with the fucking with the
cleaver, the four leaf
cleaver. Hits it in the chest with it. Why Pops didn't do that before? I don't know.
He wanted to shoot that some bitch,
and then she buries it, and that's how the fucking movie ends. There's no epilogue. It's just dirt on the fucking grave.
Well, the clover leaves her hand.
Oh yeah, she goes. Oh cool. It's I think that's like gone, the line. Yeah. She looks at her. Oh, it's gone. Cool. My parents are my family's dead, but the leprechaun's back in its hole.
I made my family disappear. All I had to do was pick the red clover.
Until the next motherfucker who's like, I want my vengeance, Haggis. And they're like, well, here's a shovel. Go dig up the fucking leprechaun from the tree of sadness.
Does the leprechaun have a necklace with a red clover on it? Is that what you see at the end?
I think so, yeah. That's
what
it is.
Oh my god, yeah, it's
like fucking Billy made it, or what's his name from fucking Pumpkinhead? He made him a little fucking necklace.
Oh god.
It's the fucking like the Triforce she has like around her neck. Around, yeah.
Oh my there god, that's perfect.
Yeah.
It just cuts the credits, man. And this movie just fucks right off with this awful, I don't know what, Dropkick Murphys mashed up with Evanescence. I wanted to poke my fucking ears out with this thing.
Yeah, I mean, the music's not very good throughout this. I mean, some of it's okay. Again, low budget sci-fi film. There's one point where they're like in the bar and there's like this Irish music playing that just sounds like a MIDI file straight up. So yeah, none of the music or soundtrack, if you will, really lit up my world.
Some of it's fine. But then it just goes crazy, like off the rails.
Yeah.
So we're finally here. Where are we putting this, fellas?
This is in the fucking dumpster, without a doubt.
You think?
I didn't hate this movie, but it isn't good by any stretch of the imagination. I will say it's shot pretty well. It's lit pretty well. Some of the action is kind of interesting, but that's about all I can really say from a positive standpoint on this. It's, you know, it's not a one-star film for me. It's not that bad, but I'm also not watching it ever again. This is a one and done. Glad I watched it just to kind of list scrape off that red clover fucking pimple off my hand.
Don't pop that blister, dude. You're going to die in 4 days.
Yeah, well, I popped it off and squeezed it into the fucking dumpster, and it's now dribbling down the bottom next to fucking Monster in the Closet and Pluto Nash.
You put a little bit on top of your Shamrock Shake, right? Mmm.
Yes, and then when I'm done drinking it, I throw up for like fucking 12 days straight and shit my pants until my butthole's fucking green. you're saying I'm putting fucking my red clover pus in the Shamrock Shake. That's already leprechaun cum, by the way. So it's how sick am I gonna get, Joe? I'm gonna turn into a leprechaun for fuck's sakes. But anyway, it's bad. I don't recommend it. I guess if you're really bored or you want to follow along, it's on Tubi. Don't be like Joe. Don't buy the DVD unless I guess you're a hardcore fan.
This is my penance.
Yes.
That I paid.
Yes.
Yeah.
this movie's very, very rough, but happy St. Paddy's Day, I guess.
For me, I feel like I would take this movie and go bury it back at the Tree of Tears. And it'd be unfortunate whoever picks this Red Clover movie, because then they're cursed to watch it.
Oh, no, the fucking DVD pops out of the ground and they pick it up and then they fucking release the madness.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, absolutely. I will probably never revisit this either. It was a good one.
Don't blame you.
Yeah. So that's it for me.
Man, you know, if you haven't guessed what my where I'm gonna put this, you know, I will say that I've been very happy with the fact that I've only been putting things on the shelf.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, I try. I'm not out here trying to put shit in the dumpster.
Oh, no, it's just, no, I know.
That's my honest feeling.
I can't in good faith put this on the shelf because there's almost zero redeeming qualities to this fucking movie. It's in the dumpster, baby. I'm sorry, but that's the first one of the season. That's the first one in a while. Nobody wants to be there. And I think that's my big problem with this movie, because like we're cobbling the whole thing together. Mm. And I'm telling you, you can feel it happen. We're right in the beginning. You're like, okay, all right. this is fine. And then as soon as we get into the back half of this, everybody has given up. They're just like, let's just get this over with. At least we're having fun, question mark. Because
at least we're getting paid, at least question we're getting, mark.
I mean, Billy Zane's probably drunk. I don't know. Next time I meet him, I'm gonna be like, dude, did you monologue that? I mean, did you just ad lib that whole fucking Black Friday thing at the end? Because that was brilliant if you did.
I thought you were gonna say, were you like loaded beyond belief, Billy? Yeah. Admit it, come on.
Were you and Devane fucking pulling a Hoskins and Leguizamo? Like, is that what was going on?
You
know,
exactly.
And to be perfectly honest, like, I'm kind of disappointed because, like, I'm always looking, you know. We didn't bust down all the leprechauns, but we do talk about them. And we talked about Rawhead and Leaping Leprechaun. Now, there's still some other leprechaun movies or St. Paddy's Day adjacent stuff that I want to talk about on the show. But I was hoping that, especially coming from After Dark Presents and being a leprechaun movie, you know, it's hard when you have such a great set of movies already that do leprechaun, like, perfectly.
Sure.
So I think I'm a little biased because of that. But, like, not even, because, like, this movie is not put together well at all. And it kind of fucks up my enjoyment of it, even on, like, a bad movie level, like, so bad it's good kind of thing. The scene, like, I need more Billy Zane.
We always need more of the Zane train.
I need more of the Zane train. I need...
one that gives a shit, at least.
I just need a little bit more meat, and it's not there. And it feels like every other scene in this fucking movie is padding just to get the runtime out. And, like, it felt like the writer and the director were changing their minds, or maybe they were at odds about the writing or whatever, because, like, the stuff just doesn't line up, or they were forgetting things, and, like, there's the through line sucks. And it was frustrating to see something like this come out the way it did. And I know they made it because it wasn't originally for sci-fi, okay? It just got dumped to sci-fi, it's obvious why. And, like, I also feel bad for Drew, because, like, I think this is his first feature film, and, like, that fucking killed it, dude. That was it. Like, we're doing Red Clover, and you are done. He's done some writing for some stuff, but, like, that's that, you know? And that's kind of a shame, too, because he does have the horror chops, just not in a long format way of doing it. Some of it shot pretty good. Yeah. Some of it's not. It's very hodgepodge together. I think this really got the fucking shaft in editing, and they needed to fucking dump shit in. And
maybe that was magic on the editing side, whatever, but it just felt like dog shit. But maybe they were trying to turn, you know, chicken shit into chicken salad.
Whatever 20-year-old college graduate cut this together and did the intro, that was. I understand that you don't have a lot of money, but you should have probably been somebody else.
Could have maybe got rid of those white fucking transitions.
You just don't do that, man. Like, that's it. Especially for something like this.
Yeah.
It's kind of a shame, and I'm kind of disappointed because I wanted to add this to my yearly watch. But yeah, man, it's gonna have to go right in the fucking dumpster for me.
And like, not that we have to say this 6 years into the show, but like, I just want to just mention this. We didn't pick this movie just to be like, fuck this movie. I just want to just mention that. And also to Dustin, we're sorry.
Yes.
Oh, it's all good.
I didn't know what we were getting into either. I just want to be like, for anyone that's in there that doesn't get this show 6 years in, we picked this movie because we thought it would be good, and it just didn't work out. And I don't know that I need to say that, but just because we were ripping on it so hard, I don't think I've gotten this hard since Jacko, which, you know, was only like 4 months ago, to be fair. But it's just like, goddamn.
Well, I think the problem is none of us have anything nice to really say about it. And, like, I mean, it happens every once in a blue moon, or every once in a red moon, or red clover, whatever you want to say. The rarity of the red clover.
Yeah. For sure, for sure. So it definitely an anomaly on this show, but yeah, I guess it does happen occasionally.
Yeah, can't recommend this one. And like Dusty said, this will live in my collection, but I'll probably never fucking watch it again. So yeah, Dustin, tell us again, where can we find the Flicks and Friends podcast? What do you got coming up? What do you want to plug, man?
You can find us anywhere podcasts are available, minus YouTube, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast. And this month we are doing Robert Rodriguez month. Our first movie was Sin City. We are dropping Spy Kids. We also have From Dusk Till Dawn, which you guys are jumping on, and we're capping the month with Machete Kills.
Oh, yeah, man. Can't wait.
It's going to be fucking tight, dude. And all episodes drop every Monday.
That's awesome.
Hell yeah.
I can't wait to hear the machete through line, because I feel like so many people that either haven't seen it or forget that Spy Kids is actually his origin. And then, you know, Machete, you know, obviously the rest is history.
Uncle Machete,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, don't forget, make sure you go subscribe to the Flicks and Friends podcast. What are you doing if you're not? I don't know.
You're fucking up big
yeah,
time.
Big time. But yeah, what do we got coming up, dude?
We also have a Leprechaun 2 commentary track, kind of following up our Leprechaun 1 commentary track from last year.
Very excited for that one.
Yes, coming to Patreon, patreon.com/moviedumpster for the $5 and $10 tiers. Also for the same tier level, we're going to have a watch-along of Coffee, the Pam Grier classic that we covered last year, or 2 years ago, actually.
Coffee is the color, baby.
As part of our look at movies related to Women Empowerment Month, which we also did Thriller, A Cruel Picture earlier this month with our friend Jenna Fryer, so check that out if you missed it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got a junk mail came out recently. If you missed it earlier this month, it was the first one of the year. So that's on the $2 tier. And again, I say it every time, it's for less than a cup of coffee a month. Honestly, for any of those, I mean, I go to fucking Dunkin' Donuts and I'm spending $6 on a freaking cold brew.
Also true.
So if that's your bag, check it out. We got a lot of stuff on there. Dustin's a patron. I'm sure he can attest to it, right, Dustin? We're not putting you on the spot.
Oh, it's worth it. It's well worth it. Yeah.
We didn't pay him to say that. He paid us. Okay. Remember that.
Right. The check's in the mail, obviously, right?
Tell them the check's in the mail, baby.
So yeah, let us know what you think about Red Clover in the comments, if you liked it, if you didn't. And like and subscribe if you're listening or watching on YouTube. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast app, do us a favor and leave a 5-star review if you're digging the show, because it really helps us get them out of the bottom of the dumpster and into more eardrums.
Yeah, and I guess one other thing, just to mention again, if you missed the announcement earlier this season, also on the $2 tier on Patreon, you may have noticed on the audio versions of the show, we have ads now. But if you go on Patreon, you sign up for that $2 tier or any of the other tiers, we post the ad-free version when the episodes come out. So if that's something that interests you, check it out.
So that's it. That's Red Clover from 2012, directed by Drew Daywalt. I'm Joel Escola.
I'm Sean O'Rourke.
And I'm Dustin Elkins.
Thanks for visiting the dumpster.